here the past few weeks, you know that I just felt the Lord say we have to start nailing this issue of spiritual versus natural, that there are two dimensions. There's a spiritual, eternal realm that's unseen, that's eternal, that we are actually going to go to when we pass from this earth suit, this flesh that we prize so dearly, many of us. We're going to leave that behind someday. And the part of us that goes on forward is going to be our spirit. It's the eternal part. And that's where we really need to focus our energy. If there's something we can invest in that's going to last forever, it'd be more important to invest there than in the stuff that's going to be left behind, wouldn't it be? I know it sounds morbid maybe if you don't think about death or if that's something that scares you, but when you realize that Jesus came to give us life and that we would have life abundantly and that it starts now, it frees your heart up to be able to invest in a place and to be able to, you know, give money, give your time, serve somebody where there's no benefit that comes back to you. It's a very freeing feeling to be able to live your life for other people and not to just build your own kingdom and build your own plans for your life and just leave it to somebody else. What more important thing could you do than to invest in the spiritual realm, but it's unseen? And people don't like what's unseen. We get spooked by what's unseen, right? If you watch a spooky movie, usually there's some spiritual aspect to it that challenges us and makes us feel afraid. And we have no problem approaching it from the fear side of it, but God is spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we, as believers on planet Earth in these dark days, we have to recognize that the only light we're going to find is going to be spiritual light. It's going to be the light that's provided through Jesus Christ, through what He has provided, through the love that He demonstrated. The love He came to Earth with was the love of the Father. It says that for God, the Father, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish and just live a meaningless life where everything that they've ever done left leaves behind, but they would have eternal life. That they would be redeemed from that place, that they would not be condemned, but that they would be saved. And this is the reality of why we get excited in worship. If you're a guest this morning, you're probably already trying to figure out what is it that's different about us. And I like to just tell people, not everybody, we're not all in a place, and I don't even claim for myself to be in that place, but there's moments in time when it's more real than others. Jesus is alive. Jesus isn't dead. You can't go and visit the tomb of Jesus and commemorate His remains that are in that place. Not because He was stolen, not because somebody hid Him somewhere that no one could find, but because He raised from the dead. Jesus did not survive death. He conquered death. And He did it in the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He gives that to us, the church, to be able to live in this dark day in the face of everything that's against us and to be able to stand before all darkness and say, I know a hope that maybe you don't know about. And it's the reason for the smile on my face. It's the reason for the joy in my heart. And it's the reason that I can smile in what everything else is going. Well, you all know how it's going. We all have the same TV on our wall, right? And it all tells us the same story. It's not getting prettier. It's a stinking mess. And it's not going to get better because some one wise person has some idea that we haven't thought of yet. We've had a couple thousand years to try to figure this stuff out. Guess what? Our natural intellect isn't doing it. The best systems men have come up with to try to make it better and make life improved, it hasn't worked. I mean, let's just be honest. Has it worked? There's more sickness, there's more disease, there's more brokenness, there's more sick people just propped up into some form of staying alive and surviving, and they think that's normal life. That's not the life that God has planned for us. It's not the life of health and prosperity and blessing that He desires His kids to walk into. It's not. It's because there's a fallen age that we were all born into when Adam walked away from the Lord, committed treason, ate from the tree that he wasn't supposed to, and every child he's ever given birth to since then. From the seed of that man. I'm a biologist. I studied DNA. For me, it makes perfect sense. I understand the way DNA works. Once it's corrupted, it's going to produce corrupted DNA. You can't just, it doesn't reverse itself. The law of thermodynamics prevents us from believing that. Somehow they've convinced kids in schools that everything can go from disorder and a primordial ooze all the way into the perfect order and vision and sight and emotion. Come on, let's be real for a minute. Come on. Emotions, anger, pain. Love, happiness, these evolved from just random, maybe lightning hit it. That was the boost that it needed. Oh, in a few billion years, don't forget the few billion years. I studied at SUNY New Paltz. I've been through the rhetoric. I understand it from the inside and from the outside. It's the biggest hoax that people with a sound mind have ever bought into. Really? Given enough time, something is going to go from being complete disorder and it's going to form itself into the ability to see color, to have reflex, to play video games, to create video games, to see the complexity that we live under and to think that somehow, guess what it's done? It's allowed mankind to think that he has created himself. And in a way, philosophically, we have. And therefore, where does that leave us? When we have a problem, where do we have to look to fix it? You're stuck in a big old hole, put the shovel down, because it's not helping you. No, we're going to dig a little more, and then we're going to see the answer. No, you're deeper in the hole. Natural man is not going to figure out the spiritual problem that we're all born with. It's two different realities. One is eternal, one is temporary. And I just want to encourage you this morning with those initial thoughts that we have to get focused on the spiritual truth. If we're going to focus on natural stuff, you can do that. You don't have to go to church for that. You can just live your life. See if there's fulfillment in it. See if you can find something that I apparently couldn't find when I was out in the world, thinking I was going to find it through all the pleasures that men think they're going to find when they just live life free of any restraint and follow whatever I feel like doing. Let me just do it. If I hurt somebody, oh well, find somebody else. It's the way the world thinks, and they wonder why people are broken and bruised and embittered and can't even possibly believe that there's a God that loves them. Because every other thing that they've touched has hurt them in some way, or they've hurt someone else some way. Broken people break people. Broken things stay broken. They don't fix themselves. We have the thermodynamic laws that scientifically we embrace, but then we say, well, let's throw a few billion years on that, and then we can suddenly believe anything. Natural evolutionists have great faith. They believe a model that is so ridiculous. Folks, we're flying right now as you sit in your chair through space at 67,000 miles per hour, spinning around the equator at 1,000 miles per hour centrifugally. And you sit here and you don't even feel it, do you? We get impressed over Walt Disney because he created, or his designers created, some cool rides that we can strap into and give us some amazing feelings. None of them are like this one. How do you put a windshield on a ride that goes 67,000 miles an hour? Oh, you create an atmosphere. How do you keep it moving? There's no strings. Oh, there'll be this force that just keeps them pulled. If they were any closer, they would come together. If any further, they would drift apart. But we'll set it at the distance down to the very foot that they can continue going for thousands of years at 67,000 miles an hour. And they won't leave the sun that they're tied to invisibly. And we'll put a few other things in there. It's for the planets and other moons, because without any single one of them, the whole thing just comes apart. And mathematically, we can see this. Mathematically, we can study it. We can show the formulas that prove the connectivity, that show if one thing was, if the moon was just 10 feet farther, that somehow things would gradually, over a few thousand years, they would already have drifted apart. We wouldn't even be here. And yet we can look at it all, and if we don't pay attention, we miss the essence of what's happening. As we sit here going through space at 67,000 miles an hour, the bugs, the asteroids, the stuff that we look up and say, oh, beautiful shooting star. That stuff would take us out if it wasn't for the windshield he gave us. Folks, it's the same with the things of the Spirit. There are stuff going on. There are realities. There's a realm of spiritual existence that is so real and so tangible. And yet if you're not aware of it, if you don't open your heart to it, you're going to live a natural life completely oblivious to everything that's going on. And we're going to look at some scriptures that just help us establish our own connection to the Lord, our own connection with the fact that this is the work of a designer. No one has a snowman that happens in your yard, right? You get a snowstorm and there's a snowman outside your window. No one looks at that and says, man, well, yeah, let me see, it snowed on Friday. It's been almost 2 weeks. I guess by now the snowflakes might have made themselves into that. Yeah, it's maybe. Well, it's Alaska. It's been snow on the ground for 100 years. So, yeah, I guess in 100 years, maybe that, and the carrot and the eyes and the charcoal nose, yeah, maybe. Could happen. You know, the wind just right, a tree falls and digs up a carrot. And I don't know. I'm trying to. You have to laugh. We're teaching kids this stuff. People that believe this are teaching children that this is the result of just this big cosmic accident. There's no purpose for your life. Live it to the fullest. Get out of it what you can. Do it your way. Celebrate it and become compost. That's all there is. So just go out and enjoy. And we wonder why people don't even want to live, why we have to have community walks to raise awareness for suicide prevention. What in the world, to live on this planet in the beauty and the splendor of the colors that we see outside, to have breathable air, drinkable water, and we don't want to live? Thousands and thousands of people don't want to live? We have no value for the very breath that we have. And sometimes it takes till someone's down to their last gasping breath when they would pay any amount. I remember watching Steve Jobs just decline with his cancer, and he just realized with all the billions of dollars that he had, he couldn't buy one more hour on planet Earth. And yet we live in a culture that says, well, if you have enough money, you'll be safe, you'll be secure. If you have enough in your 401k, you'll be okay. You won't have to worry about everything else that's going around. The world will fall down around you, but your money will save you. Or maybe the letters in front of your name, PhD and MD and all these different things. Maybe the letters in front of your name. If not the zeros on your paycheck after the comma, maybe if not those, then maybe it's the letters in front of your name. Maybe education will save the world. There's a lot of brilliant people on this planet, and they have not saved anything. They've calculated that we came from a primordial ooze hit by lightning, and molecules decided to shack up, and here we are. Well, they weren't even molecules at that point. They were less than that. But hey, a few billion years, anything could happen. Snowmen don't build themselves. When we see something that was put together, we say, somebody did that. Someone designed that. When I sat under the microscope, the electron microscope in my laboratory in college after 6 years of being brainwashed by everything they could teach me about just the natural human existence of man and how we got here through natural means, and I saw the order that existed, magnitudes multiplied hundreds of thousands of times, the order of the membranes inside a mitochondria of a rat's kidney cell, and I realized that what I'm looking at, and you see the way things are stacked so perfectly. No kid can build a Lego model that looks anything like what's happening inside of our body, so small you can't even think of it. And suddenly it hit me, you fool. This just happened all by itself. Are you kidding? When you see design, you know there's a designer. When I see a piece of art, I don't think, well, given a few billion years, it painted itself and hung itself on the wall perfectly level. But that's what our kids are being taught. We wonder what's wrong with our society, why they don't know that there's a creator that has a purpose for their life, that had a reason for giving them birth now on planet Earth. You can give birth to a baby and just leave the head inside and stick scissors and suck the brain out the back, and it's done every day hundreds of times in this country because we have no value for an almost born life. Because we don't have any value for born life either. Stop blaming doctors and blaming an industry that capitalized on it and realize it's the fact that a culture does not value life because we don't know we were given life by the breath of God when He breathed into Adam and man became a living soul. People treat one another like they have no value. Why? Because they don't value themselves. They're selfish, they want to satisfy their pleasure, but they don't actually value themselves. If they realized they carried the image of God that He created them in, they would not treat people the way that they do. Folks, our culture has forgotten their true identity. We have forgotten who we are, not just as Americans, but as human beings who have been designed with the ability to love. You know how complicated love is. Come on. My wife and I met in seventh grade. We got married at like 21 or so. I don't even know when we got married. 22, something like that. She's not here today. She was assisting with a delivery overnight from like 10 o'clock in the morning all through the night. I was texting her back and forth and no progress. And at 11 o'clock this morning, I don't know if you guys know Maranatha Garcia. Some of you guys do, right? She gave birth finally at 11 o'clock this morning naturally. It's an amazing thing. But as my wife and I walked through our journey together, we didn't always value each other because we didn't understand our own value. We didn't always treat each other right because we didn't understand that we bear the image of the creator of the universe who made man in His image because we believed something else. Well, if all we are is so much compost when we die anyway, we might as well have a good time while we still can. It's not working out for us, though, because good people are getting hurt. Good people can't find anyone that even cares, even understands what commitment means, what it means to live sacrificially so that somebody else can just have a decent life. Folks, there's a lot of well-meaning people out there, and I'm not here to knock anybody. I appreciate our government as a country that we are born into. We are still the most amazing place on the planet. I've traveled to India, I've been to Africa, I've been to third world countries, I've been in places multiple times where you see, where you can gauge the level of amazing blessing that we live in as Americans, and I'm not here to criticize the government that we have, but they've embraced a secular model where we fix our own problems. And it's not going to work. They're not suddenly going to wake up with the answer. No one magical person is going to suddenly show up on the scene and truly be able to put this thing back together. It's going to take a spiritual people who believe that a God still cares about them, that there's still a mark that he left on humanity that's worth preserving, that's worth redeeming, that when he sat in heaven and saw all of mankind who had turned their back on him, it says, while we were still sinners, while we were God's enemies, he sent Jesus for us. We didn't get it right, and then he decided, you know what, they finally got it together enough. Let me send Jesus to finish the work that they started. No, we were making a complete mess. Human history was so dark during the Roman rule in that time in Israel. It was so oppressive. There was just brutal things happening. There was no justice. Not if you were a Jewish person. Not if you were someone who wasn't Roman by birth. And yet, in that place, God sent Jesus, knowing the death that he would die, knowing the way that he would be rejected by the ones that he came to save, that his son would sit on a hill looking over Jerusalem and one day cry because of the rejection that he experienced from the people he came and healed and touched and ministered to. He knew that would happen, and yet the love in his heart, the desire to reconnect with those made in his image, compelled him to send him. And we wonder, we forget this. The only way you can be a believer and know what the Bible says and know what it teaches and lose the passion of it is if you forget it. You forget that you have the very value of God himself. Our culture is completely forgotten. I tell you what the primary role the church is going to be in these last days is going to be to stand up and to remind people, you still have value. You still have a purpose. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You still have a reason for breathing. There's still someone you can help. There's some person, someplace that you can reach out to. There's a lot of well-meaning people. There's a lot of folks that think they have the answer and they're getting all excited about it. And it's nothing against them. It's just, let's not be blown about by every little wind of doctrine, every person that's got the latest, greatest idea. There's a person who knows exactly what needs to happen on planet Earth, and it's the Father God. It's the one who initiated this whole reality we call Earth, and whose spirit is the very spirit that holds it all together, because he understands there's still value here, and there's still a reason. You know, I got some firefighters, we got some EMT guys in the church. If you have a certain type of fire and you put water on it, it's bad news, right? I don't know the types of gasoline, any petroleum product. Right? You have a grease fire and you throw water on it, what does it do? It expands. The thing that puts out your campfire is the very thing that causes it to blow up in your face. You cannot fight the natural hole that we are in with natural stuff. It's going to take something that knows the recipe to create order and to bring it back into a place of truly loving caring. Jesus said it's going to be dark. We know that it's going to be dark, and it's been dark throughout human history. It's been dark all over the place. In fact, let's look in Exodus chapter 10. I'm not going to be long this morning because I want to make sure that there's an opportunity for people to truly connect with the One. I just felt such a overwhelming love as we were just worshiping this morning. Part of being a pastor is, I think it's a spiritual gift. Sometimes I'm not sure. It doesn't feel like a gift. When I see people that are disconnected, and I know they're disconnected. I know they don't know they're loved. Let me put it that way. You ever met someone that doesn't know that they're loved? You ever tried to have a relationship with someone that doesn't know that they're just lovable? You can spoil them. You can try anything you want to give them everything to try to prop their feelings up and make them feel loved. But if they don't know and believe that they are truly loved, they'll just think it's to try to get something. They'll receive it all, but they'll have this guarded thing up like, yeah, I know what's going on. Because trust has been broken, folks. We live in a post-Christian era. That's what they call it. In church history, we look at the day we live in as a post-Christian world where we tried that, but it didn't work. They didn't try Jesus. They didn't try living for somebody else. They didn't try laying down our life and taking up his life. Because that way works. That way changes things. That way takes people out of depression. In Exodus 10, verse 21 through 23, it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt." This is a time when the Hebrew nation, the Jewish people, were enslaved in Egypt. They were held captive there. And they came in as a small band, a small family, several hundred, maybe thousand, and they grew into a nation of millions in captivity in Egypt over the course of almost four centuries. And so there was a time coming when Moses was going to lead them out of this place of captivity. And so he comes and this ninth sign from God to show that Pharaoh needed to release these people, that their time of slavery was over, was here. And he sent Moses, and this is the instruction to Moses. Stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over all the land of Egypt. Darkness so that it may even be felt. Anybody feel how dark it is out there? Can you feel it? I walk into some places. I walked through the mall yesterday. Not just because everything's closing and stores aren't the same as they used to be, and it's not like it was when I was in high school, but because there's just this weight of just dark. People don't have a purpose and a reason to even buy the stuff that they're buying. It's only going to last for like a week, and they're going to go out and buy more, trying to satisfy this need to find some reason to be here, something that's changing in my life. So I'll just buy things. And it's hollow, and there's this weight that comes with it. There's this darkness that you can feel. And it's not just out there someplace. You drive down certain streets. I just met a couple after the first service, after sharing that scripture. It's like, well, we both work in the prison. And we both pray before we go in, because we know as soon as we open that door and it closes behind us, if we're not intentional about the fact that we carry light with us, the darkness just weighs on you. You feel it as your steps get heavier as you go and start your job. By the time you get started, if you're not aware of it, you're just under the weight of this heaviness, this darkness. It just reigns and rules there. Because there's a spiritual reality that's eternal, that's always going to be in contest with the light of life, with the King of Kings, with the glory that He's placed in the hearts of those that believe. Light and darkness is the eternal struggle. Every comic book has it in it. Every story, every movie that we love, there's a good guy and a bad, not everyone. Most of them. I like to use the word every a lot, and people quote me on it. Well, you sure not every single one? I'm sure there's a chick flick out there someplace that doesn't have a bad guy and a good girl or whatever it was. We'll make sure the guy is the bad guy and the girl is the good girl. That's always good. So this darkness that can be felt came into the land of Egypt, and Moses stretched his hand towards heaven. There was a darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They didn't see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Now, without modern plumbing and not moving around, that begins to smell. This isn't like cell phone, you hit the flashlight and you can see where you're going. This is before that. This is, if you can even imagine that, this new generation. I don't even know. I think I'm part of it, all right, a little bit. My daughter, my kids try to keep me up to speed, but, oh man, it's a lot of work, isn't it? Pitch blackness. Nobody even moved around. It was that level of dark. Darkness that you could feel. Probably some fear was attached. Probably some cold. This has got some desert climate going on. At night it gets cold in the desert. Imagine 3 days of pitch blackness. And this is what it says, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Why? Because they were born of a certain father. They had a common father. Their ancestry went back to someone that God had appointed. And listen, our ancestry in the spirit goes back to Jesus. It says that we've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, not of a perishable seed that's just going to, we're going to breathe our last and it's going to just go into the ground. No, we've been born of an incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. The spiritual part of you that lives and abides forever has been rebirthed through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. When he hung there and he said, Father, forgive them, they just don't know what they're doing. It's that moment of time that death itself was eradicated. Jesus didn't survive the grave. He conquered the grave. He didn't just survive death. He died and he rose again. He conquered death. That's why we get excited. That's why we realize that there's a reason to praise Him. Unless we forget it. I've been looking in the book of James quite a bit. And today I'm just going to read 2 Peter because we're short on time. In his first chapter, in verse 5, he talks about people who lack good character. And he said, for he who lacks these things, these behaviors that we would all say are good and wholesome and they benefit the people around us, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. My heart breaks when I see people that once knew what it was to follow the Lord and somehow they just forgot. It's like they forgot that you're flying through space at 67,000 miles an hour because it's just the sun comes up, the sun goes down. And we just wake up and we do the same thing. And you remember Groundhog Day? And like you just keep going through the motions and you just go and you do it and you do it. There's so much more than that. He's put us here so that we could find him, so that by the majesty of the heavens, it says that the heavens declare his handiwork. They shout at you if you'll go out at night and look up and realize. Thing's been doing that. That round thing that comes up and it's all different colors on the horizon and then comes up overhead. It's been doing that for thousands of years, even millions of years if you believe that level of the way time has progressed through the creation of the universe. And it's still doing it. It's going to do it again tonight unless Jesus comes back. And we get to feeling like there's no meaning. My heart breaks. I see people that are disconnected when they come in. And it piles up on me. I don't know if it's a gift. It piles up on me. Because I stand here in worship and I feel the love of a heavenly Father that saw me in my darkest moment and had the love for me in his heart to open my eyes so that I wouldn't just see and draw a sketch of something happening 120,000 times magnified so fine that it took electrons being passed through it just to be able to discern what it was, because light would be too big of a particle. And I'm looking at this electron beam passing through and I'm suddenly my eyes just opened. The rest of the class saw the same thing. And they went on in the darkness that they were in. And suddenly I saw, I'm here for a purpose. And when people come in and I see them stacking up, and I'm like, man, I can see in their eyes, they don't know. They don't know. And it gets to be 3 and 5 and 10. And I just think, God, I feel the love that he has. Because I know the love he had for me, because I remember what it felt like to just feel him embrace me. And if that's what's going on inside a rat's kidney cell mitochondria, in the cell membrane of it, what's going on in the spirit that he's placed within every single person who calls on his name and who believes that what he did on that cross was enough to wash away every sin you ever committed, to make you have the ability to stand before a holy God, blameless and without fear, because you see the love that Jesus demonstrated on that cross. And somehow he let me see it, and I see people and it just piles up on me. I feel like, what would it take for them to feel? And it's different for every person. Every person you... It's not this formula where everybody stands up and says some certain thing and all of a sudden abracadabra and all these things happen. It happens in the wrong sense. But in the kingdom of God, there's love. God is love. He can't force himself on anybody or it wouldn't be love. Love has to be an opportunity presented and an opportunity accepted. Anything less than that is not love. God doesn't manipulate your heart. He doesn't stir you and force you to feel something that's not really there. He just shows you and all of a sudden it can dawn on you. All right. I've been created. And I see people and I can tell in their eyes they've never even heard and believed that they were created. You know what created means? That means that he said, you know what, these snowflakes will look pretty cool and they'll look better if we can at least make them into a shape. Yeah, God started with raw ingredients. From dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We all go back to the disarray that we started in. But at one point, God pulled it together. And he breathed into it, and that person had the power to pass that on all the way to your parents. And they mixed the DNA the same way that Adam and Eve did, and there you were. So microscopic, you couldn't even have been seen without special instrumentation. And then you just grew up with all your personality traits, your emotions, the habits of your parents, all starting from the tiniest little seed. And we forget these things. We forget that God had a plan for humanity. And it was for them to accept the love that he had in his heart for them. We've made it about us, and love and selfishness cannot mix. You can't be a selfish person that's all about you and claim to have love or even know what love is, because Jesus came and he took off his robe and he knelt down and he washed their feet to show them this is what love looks like. It doesn't look like who's fighting over who's going to sit on my right and left hand when I ascend into heaven like his disciples were doing. He took his robe and he knelt at their feet and he washed their feet. Why? Because that slave that did that in that day was the lowest one in the whole house. Wash the dirty feet. They walked through the animal stuff that was on the streets in those days. The dust and the dirt and the sweat. He would wash those feet. And that's what Jesus did to each one of them. He says, you want to be great in the kingdom? You got to get your eyes off yourself. And you got to realize there's people with dirty feet that need to be clean, that need to be loved, that need to know that there's a reason they're here. And when your life becomes about that, all of a sudden you come alive. You come alive. People are trying to find meaning, but they're not willing to die to themselves so that they can embrace a God who says, you're going to have to lay down your life if you want to follow me. Jesus said, you want to come after me? You have to pick up the same cross I'm going to pick up and come and follow me. And in it, you'll find true freedom, because you'll find spiritual freedom. The natural freedom that as Americans we get all fired up about, and I'm one of the biggest patriots in here, so I'm not anti-patriotic. If you don't love our nation, then please just go someplace else. Just do us all a favor. Go. So I've got no problem saying that. Because there's a whole world out there. Why would you live someplace you can't stand? They make airplanes now. You can go in a few hours to someplace that you'll fall in love with, maybe. When we lack these things, when we lack love in our heart and we become selfish, Peter has some powerful insight here. He said, we're short-sighted, we're blind, and we've forgotten that there was an opportunity for you to be cleansed from all your sins. Sin's just missing the mark. It's not, I didn't kill anybody, I didn't murder, I didn't steal from anybody. It's not about levels of sinfulness, it's just sin. Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has gone past something that we should have done and didn't. That's still sin. It's still missing the mark. And Jesus has come and he has cleansed us from our old sins. And all it takes to receive what he's provided, Bible is very clear. You believe it in your heart, which means you say, got it, yep. And you confess it with your mouth. And men have made it so complicated. Religious institutions have made it into something that's so far away. And Jesus said, if you can't become like one of these little children that you're trying to keep away from me, you're never going to understand the kingdom, because it doesn't work the way that every other kingdom works. The way up is the way down. The way to greatness is the way to serving. Folks, we need true freedom. Eternal freedom. And it's spiritual freedom that I'm talking about. Because whom the Son sets free, talking about Jesus, is truly free. Not just as long as your country has a functioning government that maintains your civil liberties, but even in the midst of it, even in the midst of being in slavery like Israelites were, there can still be light in your house. Don't ever say my house is dark because it's dark out in this world and everything else is just dark. Eliminate whatever it is that's bringing the darkness in. And let there be light in your heart. Let there be light in the place that the Holy Spirit has cleansed through the application of the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross, when he hung there in your place, when he hung there in my place. Let's just stand together as we just close this morning. I'm going to just pray a prayer, and in your heart of hearts, you don't have to repeat after me or anything like that. But just if it's in your heart to agree with what I'm saying, just on the inside, on the spiritual part of you, come into agreement with the statements that I'm going to make. Father, you're such a good Father. You sat in heaven with nothing lacking, complete in every way, but you looked at this earth and you saw the mess that those who were once made in your image, Lord, you saw the deterioration and you saw the level to which we had fallen. And you didn't turn your back and you didn't snap your fingers and you didn't create a new universe, because that's not who love is. Lord, the love in your heart compelled you to look to your side and to see Jesus and to say, Son, this isn't right. We can't leave this like this. We have to at least give them an opportunity to find grace, to find forgiveness. And the only way we can do it is if you go down and you live a perfect life and you're punished as one of them. We'll forgive them for what they do. You'll go into the grave that was supposed to be for them. I see the Son just looking at the Father and he just nods and says, okay. And I'm not making this up, because it was a garden called Gethsemane where Jesus prayed. after the end of living 33 years, after the end of living a perfect, sinless life, healing many, loving people the way they'd never been loved, curing their diseases, raising them from the dead. He came to a place before the cross, and his own people had turned against him, and he cried out in a garden at night and said, "Father, if there's any way possible, please let this cup pass from me, that I wouldn't have to drink of this suffering that's intended for my heart and for my life." 3 different times, he cried out if there was another way, and the heavens were silent. The Son said, "Not my will, but your will be done, Lord." And he went to the cross and he took your place. The punishment that he received was a punishment that a fallen, treasonous race deserved. Jesus, you hung in a place on a cross that if I was ever there, having been treated that way, I would have cursed everybody and I would have died. To be falsely accused, to be ridiculed for doing good, and executed as a treasonous blasphemer. And yet, Lord, when you were about to die, you opened your arms and you said, "Father," you hung there breathing your last and you said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." On the basis of us just being ignorant and being unbelieving, you gave us a free ride. You said that if anyone would call on that name, they would be saved. And Father, this morning in this room, I pray that there is someone's heart who is ready to call upon the name in which is found salvation, in which is found love, the name by which men are transformed from a kingdom built around darkness and dark methods and means and deception, and are translated into a kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of your love, according to what is written in the Scriptures. God, if we've made it anything else, if we've made it about us, if we've made it about how good we feel and how much we might get from you, we apologize and we're sorry, God. Because this is all about you and about your love. God, we stand here humbled in your presence, Lord. And I just pray that you would lift that burden that's in my own spirit from me, from people that don't know you yet. Connect them, Father, I pray. Let them walk out of this room knowing, if nothing else, that you love them, that you're not angry with them anymore, that the mistakes that they have made no longer disqualify them if they'll simply put their trust in you, Jesus. Father, you are such a good and loving Father. Lord, we don't understand how it is sometimes that this world can't see how good you are, that you would look at everything we're doing wrong and still allow us another day on this planet. Lord, I know in my heart of hearts it's because you want more people to know of your love and to hear of your grace and to respond and be saved before it's too late. So Lord, however long you tarry, however long it takes before you return and you bring your church, your bride, to be with you forever, Lord, we will continue to shine. We will continue to love. We will continue to turn away from the provoking words that try to draw us into an old way of thinking that we're no longer supposed to think like. God, you've given us your mind, Jesus. Help us to see this lost and broken world the way that you do. As possibilities, as opportunities to be redeemed and to be healed and to be delivered and to be brought back to the original plan that you had for mankind before he walked away. Just know the Holy Spirit's just ministering to some people's hearts. That warmth that you feel, that racing that's happening in your heart, that's the Lord just allowing you to see that he truly loves you, that he's real, that you're not an accident. One of the most devastating things a child can hear is that they were an accident. And if you've been raised up under that thinking, that you're just a great cosmic accident, oh, I pray that the lover of your soul, the holy God of the universe, would expose himself to you so that you could see that he has a plan for your life. You are way more than just a few billion cells randomly put together. You are woven with the fabric and the design of the creator of the universe for a purpose to be on earth this day and this time with the people that are around you right now. And Father, I just give you praise, Lord. Feel your presence so strong, and I just pray that everyone in this room would feel that the love that I'm feeling right now is for them too. They wouldn't exclude themselves and they wouldn't disqualify themselves. They would realize you have already qualified them to partake of the same goodness that everyone else who believes gets to partake of. And Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you that as we go out of this place, we go out with a glow. We go out with a shine. We go out with a smile. We go out with a joy that's our strength, because we're living for more than just the life that we have now. Father, we live for you, and you live for us. You live in us and through us. God, for those of us that need opportunities this week, I pray for opportunities to arise and to be put in front of our paths that are so obvious we couldn't miss them, to be able to share your goodness and to be able to share your love and your life with this world that you have allowed us to live in. We give you thanks for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.